unless they're going to sort of do things like impose tariffs, which is a pretty dumb idea, there's really not very much they can do.
Not a lot of economists are excited by plans to save the manufacturing industry. Nicholas Gruen is the CEO of Lateral Economics. He says that government efforts to revive the industry's fortunes are going to be superficial.
Manufacturing's taking water and they're going to be manning the bailing pumps and they're not very big.
Mike Rafferty from the Workplace Research Centre at the University of Sydney agrees that the decline is largely unstoppable.
As you become more efficient, you need less people to make the stuff. Just as we did, we found that in agriculture 150 years ago, as agriculture became more efficient, less and less people required to do the farming work. No amount of nationalism or talking about China is really going to change the long-term dynamic, which is that we're going to need less and less people to make the manufactured goods.
But Professor Stephen Bell from the School of Political Science and International Studies at the University of Queensland says that we should be thinking strategically about the future of our economy instead of just sitting back and watching. He says manufacturing may be important in some respects.
Well, it's an important sector in the sense that the good high-end sectors have good, you know, linkages of the technology innovation sectors can pay higher wages. In some sectors, offer good export opportunities.
But Professor Bell says that simply propping up the manufacturing sector isn't the smartest strategy for the future of our economy.
It's much better to think about what sort of capacities does the Australian economy have in high-end brain-based industries. That's some sectors of manufacturing, some sectors of high-end services. You'd be drawing in the training and education sectors. You'd be thinking about networks and linkages. So it's not no longer an industry-specific debate. It's about strategising economic development more broadly.
Other economists would prefer to try fixing these problems at a very high level by attempting to deal with one of its main causes, that is, the high value of the Australian dollar. Nicholas Gruen.
I would say that we need to do something a bit like the Norwegians did when they saw that they were going to have a huge resources boom, and they set about saving a lot of that money and basically investing it offshore. And that meant that they could, you know, that they were treating the boom as temporary for their economy, and they were therefore able to allow the economy to kind of keep ticking away in a reasonably normal way. And banking a lot of the dividends from this huge resources bonanza and distorting their economy less.
Mike Rafferty says that if we're going to throw money around, it should be for the workers themselves to make a transition to new jobs, not for the industry. Subsidising industry isn't a good way to preserve jobs, says Rafferty. If we want to employ people at the public expense, he says they should be doing much more useful things than making steel.
I'm thinking about things like childcare and healthcare and education and infrastructure, both social and economics.
Rafferty says that if we continue to throw money at manufacturing, the main beneficiaries may be the manufacturing companies.
People just need to be careful of not being played by populist nationalism. Because, you know, we've had 20 years of that in the steel plan and the car plan, and the major beneficiary have been the car companies and the steel companies. There are whole people's lives at stake here, so I think we need to be very, very careful about how we deal with them. But let's be clear, we've handed out massive subsidies to the steel industry over a long period of time, just like we have with the car industry, and it's important to note, we haven't really arrested this long-term decline.